Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest and greatest episode of Inside the Hexagon. I am your host, as always, Phil Lanides, and I don't know that I've ever been more excited to bring you an episode. This is my favorite interview that I've done for this podcast. I enjoyed this so much, but I finally got to connect with both Gilbert Melendez and Josh Thompson, former Strikeforce lightweight champions, together on at the same time to talk about their trilogy of fights. It was an amazing trilogy of fights in my estimation. I mean, if it's not the greatest trilogy in MMA history, it's up there. It's definitely the best in Strikeforce history. Might be the only one in Strikeforce history, but man, we had such a good time. We went over on time. In fact, we actually lost each other at one point and had to jump back on Zoom. Gil's phone died towards the end. But man, it's such a great conversation to hear them. And there's a special little surprise that I didn't know was going to happen on this call. And it's you'll hear it. You can't see it, obviously, but you'll get to hear it. And it was so much fun. It's probably my favorite single moment in this podcast, and I'm just so glad that both were able to be available and got to, you know, reconnect with one another, and it was awesome. So I'm super, super excited to bring this to you. Hope that you are as well. But without further ado, let's get to it. All right, on the line with us, I am super excited to have former Strikeforce lightweight champions Josh Thompson and Gilbert Melendez on Inside the Hexagon. Both of you have joined us to talk about, I think it's the greatest trilogy in MMA history, but I'm sure you guys are probably a little biased, probably feel the same way, but thank you both, Josh and Gil, for being on the show with us.
Awesome, man. I'm loving it.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump in. So what I want to do here is I want to walk through the three fights, not necessarily we're going to break down, you know, film or anything like that, but I want to talk about kind of where Strikeforce was at the time of each of these fights. And then of course, both you and your feelings on the fights. But to me, this trilogy was kind of like a microcosm of Strikeforce. I mean, you fought when it was early on and the promotion was starting to grow. And then in 2009, your second fight, your middle fight, it was really at its peak. And then you finally completed the trilogy in 2012, when unfortunately things were kind of, I wouldn't say on their last legs, but we were definitely getting towards the end. So kind of your fights basically kind of tell the story of Strikeforce. So let's talk about that first fight. Coming in, Josh, I know you'd had a lot of, you'd coming off shoulder surgery, you'd had a staph infection, some other illnesses, but you had won six straight fights. Gil, you had recently suffered the first loss of your career to Mitsuhiro Ishida in Japan, which was your first time fighting outside of the States, I believe, but you were coming off a win. Strikeforce was definitely on the rise as a promotion was starting to hit its stride, building around a mix of, you know, big names and then also rising stars, which you guys were both probably kind of in between. I mean, Josh, you'd fought in Strike or in the UFC prior to that, so he had probably a little bit more of a name recognition. But interesting, Gil, as champion, you were actually the 3-1 favorite coming in. You two had trained and sparred together, and I know I just spit out a bunch of information, but Josh, let me ask you first. Coming into that fight, dealing with the injuries and the sickness and that sort of thing, but knowing that you were going to be fighting a guy that you had sparred with and trained with and a guy you considered a friend, what was your mindset coming into that first fight?
I think Gil and I had a lot of mutual respect for each other, especially after we had trained together. I knew what he was capable of. And he actually, like, through the 2 years I think we had trained together, he made me a better fighter. It really came down to a lot of, like, having to deal with somebody that brought that kind of pressure. And so I spent a lot of time when we were training together trying to figure out how to deal with someone who just kept coming forward. I mean, it was one thing to spar like a John Fitch, who, you know, who just the pedigree of wrestling and the control, all that stuff. But Gil had the wrestling, but he also was someone that flurried a lot, whereas Fitch was someone that just kind of tried to control you in light shots and then hard shots. Gil just threw caution in the wind, man, and just trying to take your head off for every second of you know, every minute of the fight. And so he made me a better fighter and learning how to cut angles, get offline, not stand directly in front of his power. You know, those were things that I had to focus on a lot throughout the training for that first fight. And I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how I was going to translate into the first fight as well, because I do recall, you know, in those training sessions, I mean, just he was able to move me around the cage or in the ring. I mean, you know, in grappling, I felt like I had a little bit more of an advantage in terms of submissions and stuff like that. But I thought the wrestling kind of, we were both equal with wrestling. I gave him probably even the nod in wrestling a little bit better than mine. His ability to scramble and always seem to get to the top position. going into that first fight, I had a lot of questions that I need to answer for myself. Not even so much like, it was like, will I let him push me around? Will I let him dominate the positions? Will I concede, you know, to just giving the bottom position if he gets a takedown? Will I just sit on my back and try and hit submissions? Because throughout our training sessions, I recall those were not things that you wanted, that I wanted to do, because that's when he tried to push harder. He was one of those guys, man. When people talk about Mexican fighters, man, that's really what he was. He was someone just brought that tenacity and that level of pressure to try and fold fighters. And that was kind of what I was going into in that first fight.
Gil, kind of, and you mentioned that mindset, like obviously scrap pack. I mean, that really encapsulates what you were talking about there, Josh. But Gil, kind of talk about a little bit from your side, your mindset going into the fight. And I also want to bring up the whole North Bay versus South Bay thing. I was born in Mountain View, graduated from Cupertino High School, lived in and out of San Jose most of my life. So I understood the whole South Bay, North Bay thing. From your side, Gil, both going into the fight from a tactical, strategic perspective. And then also, the, you know, Gracie versus AKA North versus South, that sort of thing. Kind of talk about your mindset going into the fight there.
Yeah, Josh has been has really contributed to my growth in mixed martial arts and a lot of milestones in my career and involved fighting Josh. You know, Josh is correct. You know, we started training together hard for a couple of years. You know, I was young and maybe a little dumb, as in, you know, that was a little bit of a conflict of interest at the end of the day, right? I really feel like I helped Josh Thompson game up his game, you know, and I do believe he was fighting a lot of 70 pounders. And going with him, he got really scrappy, kind of learned my game and grabbed a lot of data. And of course, I had a lot of growth just training with Josh, but he's a smart guy. And he gathered some really good data and evolved as a fighter. And for me, I really didn't lose till I fought Josh Thompson the first time. You know, I fought Ishida in Japan and I lost, but I didn't lose that fight. I trained hard for Josh. I did. I trained hard for him, but I was also number two in the world and had things going my way. And Josh came and prepared for me in that fight. And he had that data on me. And I feel like that really made a difference in that fight. And he surprised me with his kicks, his teeps and everything. But my mindset was strong going into that. I felt really confident in my skills. But he did take me by surprise about how prepared, how serious he was. And, and he delivered that night.
Yeah, I think out of the three, it was the fight where it was very, very clear, probably the most clear of who the winner was. The second fight definitely, you know, leaned more towards Gil. But that first fight, was 50-45s across the board. And it seemed to be everybody was in agreement on that. One of the things
This is the question that I've always wanted to ask Gil. We never really have talked about it. So this is kind of like something we've talked about a lot of things when it comes to all three of the fights. But this was the question. Was it because of the training sessions, though, that did you come in kind of like taking me for granted? Like because there was, you know, in the sparring, you were able to move me around. You were able to push me around. You were able to do a lot of things, you know, I mean, grappling wise, you know, I felt like I had a little bit more of the advantage of the grappling, but you could dictate where the fight went with the heavy shots and the wrestling and stuff. But I always wondered, did you overlook me a little bit in that first fight?
When Josh Thompson fought for the Strikeforce title, I fought in the same card against Harris Sarmiento, and he fought Clay Guida. And Guida was able to take down Josh and hold him down for 25 minutes. You know, Josh hasn't figured out how to get off a bottom yet. And I think it was a big hole in his game. And training with me, you know, I was young, man. I really liked Josh. I really didn't want to fight him. I thought he lost his title. Let me represent for the Bay. You know, I mean, these are all mistakes on my part, you know. So, hey, I like him. I want to train with him. I want to grow with him. But he was fighting just 70 pounders and he was playing on his guard happily. I thought I was going to take him down, control him in the guard and ground and pound. And damn, I was surprised. I couldn't take him down, you know, and his movement was great. And it was a frustrating night for me. I underestimated him. I trained hard, but I was feeling on top of the world at that time. Right. You know, I was feeling like I was unbeatable. Even that fight that supposedly I lost, I didn't think I lost. And, you know, I was in a position in my career, you know, where I said, hey, after that fight, I had to make a decision if I'm going to be a professional or am I just doing this as this young kid who loves to fight, roaming the streets, having a great time, enjoying my trips to Japan, enjoying the ride. You know, but to this day, I thank Josh for that fight because, you know, it really helped me reinvent myself.
Yeah. So Josh, let me ask you, you guys both brought up takedowns there. The Clay Guida fight. Yeah. Like obviously masterful wrestler. And Josh, he did hold you down for that, you know, for that fight. In the first fight between you two, Gil was able, the you know, fighting from your back. That's, but later on, Gil was able to take you down in the second and the third fight more often, but you would wall walk and get back up almost every single time. So mm-hmm. It seems like both of you really forced the other one to become a better, more well-rounded fighter. So Josh, the question to you, did Gil's takedowns in that first fight force you to really work on, okay, maybe you won't be able to always stop the takedowns, but you're going to get right back up. Was that a conscious thing as you got past the first fight because of how Gil had pushed you in that first fight?
So it wasn't so much the first fight, like what Gil was saying, was it was more of the Clay Guida fight, because what it was, I did what I felt maybe Gil did with me in the first fight, was I took Clay for granted. I thought like, he fights careless. He's going to keep shooting. I'm going to hit the guillotines. I'm going to, you know, no worry, man, not a big deal. And as the fight went on, I realized the kid's in shape. Like he pressed the pace and got the takedowns, and I was just kept shooting submissions. It wasn't working. So then in the first fight with Gil, I worked a lot on remembering that he's a good wrestler. He puts a lot of pressure. He strikes and then he shoots off of the striking. I had to stuff those takedowns or at least make him work. But then in the second fight, he was able to get the takedowns. But what he did when we go to that second fight, he was a completely different fighter, you know, and he said himself, like, I helped kind of reinvent him after that first fight. And for me, I thought I was just going to come in and do the same, you know, and it doesn't work that way. You've got to grow, and you're always got to be evolving your craft, you know, no matter what you do. And I had talks, you know, because Jake Shields had still kind of come down before we were scheduled to fight. Had come down in between, you know, the injuries that I had had, and was training with, like, you know, Fitch and Koss and Swick and those guys. And he just kept saying, man, like, you know, Gil's getting better in the, you know, not in what he's getting better in, but, you know, Gil's looking good. Gil's doing this. And you know, and I didn't expect a whole lot of change, to be honest, because of the way Gil had always fought, which is the pressure go forward. But in that second fight, man, he truly, like, truly just everything about him, it didn't shock me, but I was just surprised in the fact that he had changed his whole game. He was patient to the center of the cage. He was throwing kicks. He was catching kicks. He wasn't chasing me around, letting himself be hit and then trying to counter off that. Those were the biggest things that I noticed right off the bat. But the number one thing that I noticed, there was a shot where I got hit in the groin and I turned around. And when I turned around and I was taking my time to get my wits back about me and my nuts to drop. Like when that all happened, I look back and Gil is sitting in off to the, you know, neutral corner, but he's sitting on one knee, his arms there, and he's taking deep breaths. In the first fight, in the tenacity of all of his other fights, he would have been someone pacing back and forth, bouncing up and down, wasting his energy, going, let's go, let's go. In this fight, he was calming his heart rate down. He was focused on what the goal was, and the goal was to beat me up. The goal was to whoop my butt. You know what I mean? And he was on track, man. He was doing everything proper, everything right, you know. And in that second fight, I felt like the fight could have went a different direction after the first round or at the end of the first round. I hit him with a couple clean shots, started to feel like I got him going backwards, and then got into a brawl, like as if I was gonna fold him. And I already knew that he can't be folded. He's not that kind of fighter. And so in my mind, I'm in his mind from the first fight. In reality was, I hadn't even got started. I hadn't even got past like his forehead yet. I wasn't in his brain or in his mind at all. He was just getting started. And so it was just that I had something in my mind that I thought was going to happen. And in reality, he had something in his mind, and his mind was a lot more clearer than my mind. He was focused. He was dedicated to what he needed to do to beat me. I mean, you had just had, you know, your little girl, you know, you and Kerry were doing fantastic. And like, there was a lot of things. The gym was going, I believe, at the time. He had a lot of pressure on him to make sure that this was his life goal. And he came out and delivered, man. You said the first fight was one of those fights. It was a clear winner. And when I look back at that fight, I felt like there was a clear winner. Gilbert won the fight. There was nothing. I don't ever take things that away from people like that. It wasn't as, if you're saying it was close, but to me, it wasn't close. He won the fight.
Yeah. I'll clarify on that. I felt like it was more of a dominant fight in the first fight. The second fight was more competitive, but Gil clearly won the second fight. Like, yeah, there's no question about that. So let's wrap up the first fight. And I know we're already talking about the second fight, so we'll transition quickly. But Josh, I do want to ask, the crowd was so into that first fight. I mean, they were just so, like, I watched all three fights back to back to back yesterday, and the crowd in that first fight was just on fire. Was that, Josh, is that your crowning achievement in MMA, fighting in front of the home crowd, winning the title, you know, as the underdog, you know, coming off that really tough Clay Guida loss, you know, was that the crowning moment of your career, in your opinion?
I mean, there's a lot of things. I don't look at my crowning moments in my career based around belts and things like that. I do it based around things that I learn about myself. There's a couple things, crowning moments. When I fought Hermes Franca, like, I always wanted to know if I was a quitter. I always wanted to know if I was a real fighter, or if I was a quitter. And in that fight, I was dominating the two rounds and got dropped in the beginning of the third, and then took my ass beating for the next, you know, 2.5 minutes, and then finished strong at the end of the round, at the end of the fight. Those are things that I think for me, I can even probably speak for Gil in this situation. You want to know about yourself as a fighter. Like, you're going to keep going. You can tell yourself you're going to keep going. But Gil's a dog, man. I don't think there's anything you can do to him. Hit him in the head with a brick, you got to keep going forward. You know what I mean? And that's I always wanted to know that about myself. I needed to know that about myself, you know? And there was a lot of other fights, you know, later on when I fought Tony Ferguson in my career. I was older. I was 38 years old, you know? And I asked myself, I could have given up after this, you know, towards the end of the second round. But instead, I was like, hell no, man. Like, I'm here. I'm already here. Like, yeah, this is what I do. And so there's a lot of defining moments throughout my career that to me I hold dear to my heart, because I wanted to know if I was a quitter, if I was a real fighter, if I could, you know, continue to back up all the things that I wanted to do. And that to me were more of my defining moments. Now, of course, the title is right there at the top.
Okay. It's kind of interesting. I know that you and Frank Shamrock have had a, you know, checkered past long time ago, but that's kind of his mindset, is in terms of, like, fights are about what you learn about yourself versus titles or paydays or, you know, that sort of thing. Although the money obviously is a big part of it.
Yeah. You look at Tyson though. Tyson feels the same way right now. He looks at all his belts sitting on his pool table, and he just, like, they're all garbage. They're all trash. Like, you don't do anything with them now. They just sit in your back on your wall. That's it, man. They're good to look back. You tell stories to your kids, but at the end of it is what you learn about yourself along the way, man.
Do you still have the U.S. belt, by the way? I got to ask if you...
Yeah, I still got it somewhere. I think it's in the garage somewhere.
Okay. It did not look nearly as good as the later gold ones that you guys both got. Yeah, those are a lot better. So let's get to the second fight. Gil, I want to turn to you. Coming into the fight, like, Josh was the champ, but he had been out for 15 months. He'd had a bunch of injuries to deal with. You had fought twice during that time. You'd avenged the loss to Ishida, which must have felt fantastic to be able to get that win, especially if you feel like you didn't really lose that first one. Talk a little bit more about your evolution as a fighter, not just reacting to Josh, but to that first loss, but just kind of overall coming into that fight, knowing that you'd been more, you know, active. Obviously, you'd had your baby girl, and you had so much more going on at that point. You'd won the interim belt. What was your mindset coming into that fight? Did you feel more pressure? Did you feel less pressure as Strikeforce was getting bigger? The crowd that night was double what it was the first fight. You know, Kung Lee's, you know, main eventing in front of 14,000 fans. What was your mindset heading into that second fight?
Yeah, like I said, man, you know, Josh has been super important in my evolution and fighting and reinventing myself, and all those fights define me. You know, that first fight that we fought, you know, really defines me. I remember him teeping me and just sticking and moving and taking me down, and you know, it wasn't fun, you know, passing over the title. I remember that moment. I remember the belt going around his waist, you know, his hands going up, and I remember saying goodbye to the belt, and it hurt, you know, and I never forget that, right? I never forgot that moment. But I definitely went back to the lab, and my main focus was, you know, reinventing myself. I was kind of like, hey, man, maybe I you know, I'm opening a gym. I'm ready to pivot in case things don't work out. And you're battling these demons, you know, can you bounce back from this loss? You know, you're ranked top in the world. Can you bounce back from it? But that was the plan, you know, just work hard, you know, reinvent myself, make sure no one keeps me the way he did, make sure no one kicks me the way he did, and just really evolve in my strength, my striking and my composure and my focus. And everything leading up to that second fight was all Josh Thompson. You know, I fought Rodrigo Dam, I fought Ishida, but all those fights I was training for Josh. You know, Josh got hurt a couple times and had to pull out, but all of my, you know, day in, day out, Josh Thompson was in my head nonstop. I got to beat this guy. I got to perform to the ability. It wasn't even that I had to beat Josh. It's just, I just knew I didn't perform to the best of my ability in the first time. And I knew if I performed to the best of my ability, I can live with myself, win or lose. And I came in focused. You know, Josh is right. You know, I was one of the main things I changed besides my technique was my mindset. You know, I used to just be a pit bull, be El Nino this form, and it was good enough. You know, but someone like Josh is smart. They take their notes, they chop you down, and they take away the storm. So you have to reinvent yourself. But the main thing is focus and composure. You know, you watch people like Fedor fight walks, and it's just so stone cold. And I kind of tried to tap into that focus, never really had. And to this day, I think focus and is a huge part of fighting. If you can maintain that focus, that composure, you're efficient in the cage, you're efficient everywhere, and you perform the best. So leading up to that fight, there was a bunch on my mind. There's a bunch of things going on. I actually found out my wife was pregnant like 2 weeks before the fight, right? You know, so there was added pressure. And I started a new gym. I had a lot of people, you know, supporting me and joining my gym and just behind me, you know, but you got to welcome that stuff. You got to rise to the occasion. And it was probably for me, you know, one of probably if not the best moment of my career, you know, because mentally I was down after that first loss. I didn't know who I was as a fighter, if I was meant to do it. And I reinvented myself and really treated this sport with the respect it deserves. And I came out as a real professional, and that was probably one of my most proud performances. But it definitely takes two to tango, right? You know, and Josh brought the best out of me, and I still love to go back and look at that fight. I don't even know if I'm the best Gilbert technically, you know, but I know I was the most focused I've ever been in a fight, ever in that fight. And I gotta believe Josh was as well, or one of us. But we sure put on a damn show that night, and you know, and I still get chills thinking about it, man. The crowd was crazy out there, and you know, half for Josh, half for me, and it was the Battle of the Bay, and it was so much fun being in the HP at that time and just watching the fans go nuts for us, right? And for us to be two of the best fighters in the world performing, you know, and representing California, representing Strikeforce, and man, we're in the history books forever because of it. You know, we're in the history books forever because of what we pulled out of each other.
Here's the thing. Like when people talk about what's probably the most, the fight that I remember the most, and it's that one, even though I won the title the one before, but it was that one. You want to know why? There were so many things I had 16 months away from because I was getting hurt. But when I came back, I was more energized and super happy to be back, and I wanted to defend the title, wanted to fight Gil. I knew that it'd been, this was all just leading to a head. And honestly, like I didn't fight the smartest fight, but I like Gil said, like you fought your best fight. You know, technically it wasn't my best fight. I didn't fight smart, but I had fun. And that's the thing to me at that time in my career, I was like, look, I've already won the title. I want to go out there and just lay it all on the line. I've never done that in my life without a care in the world. I knew I was in shape. I'd been training for a year straight, even though I was injured. You know, the times that I couldn't train, I was still doing like arm cardio. I was still doing all these things to try and make sure that I stayed in peak shape. And in that fight, I was in phenomenal shape. I mean, we were both in phenomenal shape. And it was one of those fights where you look back and you go, no matter what happened, man, and it's still probably my favorite fight out of all of them, even though I lost, I had so much fun. It was just not a care in the world. You guys saw me in the cage afterwards when they're announcing Gil won. I was clapping before they even, because I knew that, like, this is what it's all about. All those people that spent hundreds of dollars, even maybe thousands of dollars to go to that fight that night, at least one fight, they got their damn money's worth. And that was because of us. And yeah. I mean, I'm still super proud of that fight no matter what. And like Gil said, it's like those are the fights you look back and go, man, I laid it all on the line. I gave everybody what they paid for. That's what you want.
Well, is they got their money's worth that night because they also got the miracle in San Jose with Scott Smith coming back to knock out Kung in the main event. But that was an incredible card. I love the Evolution card is one of my favorites. And this is my favorite fight between the three of you. I really love the first one because of what it meant to Strikeforce and what it meant to Bay Area MMA. But this one was honestly a better fight overall. It was more entertaining. Gil, I got to ask something that was mentioned on commentary during the fight. I don't remember which of the guys, if it was Mauro or Frank or Pat that mentioned it, but they talked about you learning to hate your opponent before going into the fight. And you mentioned Fedor. You were definitely much more stoic and much more focused and poised. You didn't come out like a bull in a china closet in that opening round. You were more patient. Josh wasn't able to counter you as much because of that, which was such an important part of that first fight. I know you've talked about your mentality and that sort of thing, but specifically the hate part, is that real? Was that something that you had to kind of psych yourself into making Josh more of a villain in your mind? But talk about that.
Yeah. You know, I like people, right? Josh is a cool guy. You start hanging out, you start liking him, but I don't like to like people I fight, right? And these are some of the lessons you learn growing up in the sport. And I'm not saying it's the right way or the wrong way. It's just my way, right? And, you know, a lot of people like to hug. Oh, it's just another day in practice. That's whatever their mindset is, their mindset, you know. But at the end of the day, I had to, you know, put in my mind that Josh is trying to take food off my table. You know, Josh is trying to take a better future away from my daughter, away from my family, away from everybody that supports me. I have to represent the Bay. I had to put the pressure on myself in order to perform. You know, if I took it like I was just, you know, not a professional athlete. Oh, it's all cool. I'm having some fun on the weekends. I'm doing this for fun. It's just disrespectful to the sport and to the title. And you know, I had to put myself in the right mindset to perform to the best of my ability. And I had to not like Josh. Yeah, that's right. I had to not like him, you know, during that time. Cause I did like him, you know, I did, we train together and you can't help, but grow respect for someone that you train with, at least myself. You know, I don't know, other gyms they train and the guy across the room is someone they're going to fight 2 months down the road. I think that's bizarre to me. Yeah. And, I never found that, the way to be. And, you know, my team's different, you know, I was hoping Josh and I would trade together and grow and have this relationship and become, you know, the best fighters. And, you know, maybe I was naive and I was dumb and, you know, Scott never told me that. No one ever told me that's how it was going to be. Mm-hmm. So, I don't blame no one for that, but that was just, you know, that's just the guy who I was and through it, you learn, okay. You know, I have to separate, you know, I have to separate, you know, business from friendships and I got to choose, you know, my teammates and we got to lift each other up and we never going to fight each other. And even if they're offering me $2 million, $10 million to fight my friend, I'm sure they're offering me half of that, which I would to fight somebody else, which I'd be gladly, you know, gladly accept. But to answer your question, yeah, man, that has to be the mindset. You know, and you have to put that pressure on yourself in order to get the results. That's for me. You know, if I put that type of pressure on myself, I get the best results. And I put the pressure of a future family. I put the pressure of my team. I put the pressure of my city. You know, I put all that pressure on myself in order to, you know, to perform the way I did. And yeah, I did a lot of reinventing during that time.
Josh, let me get your reaction to that. And then we're going to coming up against time a little bit here. I want to go into the third fight, but any thoughts and reaction to that?
No, I mean, look, everyone's different. You know, for me, I felt like when I got angry with people and stuff like that, I fought worse. That's why when you notice I walk into the cage, I was pretty much always smiling. I was
smiling, man. You smile more. Like we've noticed that, me and my co-host, Josh, I think you smile more than any other fighter I've ever seen in the cage. Like yeah. I literally have a couple notes on that. It was like, Josh just always seemed to be having a great time and like really enjoying it. So go ahead.
Well, you got to remember in the scheme of life, right. At the end of all this, right. Gil and I are friends now, you know, we've hashed it out at Bellator's and talked and we've been close, you know, we're back to being close like we were when we were training and stuff together. I mean, in the scheme of life, one fight, being angry and hating somebody to me, it's like in 10 years, no one's going to remember who the hell we are. They're like, oh man, did those guys fight? Who are they? But we do. We remember who we are, but I have a lot of respect for him. So I just, it's not my style, but I don't hold anything against him for that's his style. I know I got guys in our gym as well that were the same way. Like, I'm going to kill that guy. I hate that guy. You know what I mean? that's how they were. You know, Koscheck was a little bit that way, like that. Nah, the guy's, you know, he's garbage. He's this, he's that. But that's just some guys are that way. And I understand, as long as when it's all said and done, no matter what the outcome is, you know, you can still shake hands and be like, hey, what's up, bro? Yeah. That's it. That's all I cared about.
Hey, okay. Phil, I had to say, man, that smile was part of my hatred. I added that to the field. I said, man, I hate that smile. I'm like, oh, God, if you smiled at me one more time, I'm going to kill you, man. You know? So I use that, dude. I use that to fuel my fire, dude.
No,
yeah.
That's good.
Even I remember that smile, dude. I remember that smile, dude. The whole world remembers that smile. And you know what? That's BS, Josh, dude. I think, you know, I feel like I'm immortal because of that fight, which I'm immortal because of our three fights. You know, that second fight, I mean, I know that was the best fight of the year. They didn't give it to us. That was the best freaking fight of the year. Two guys, we laid it on. We smacked each other. Even in the fifth round, I was like, all right, I got this. And then Josh just came with the flurry. I felt my temples go wah, wah, wah. And I was like, oh, this fight's still going down, you know? And to this day, man, Josh is right. You know, I had to get to that mindset. I had to say the hate word. I had to do all that. But, you know, it's intimate, man. That's like 75 minutes of beating the crap out of each other. Like, you're supposed to not like each other after that, or you guys hate each other. But it's very intimate. It's very bonding. And it's two people bringing the best out of each other. Right. I was elevated. I was lifted. I was in three different places in my life for each one of these fights. And Josh just is always made me a better man. You know, I don't want to give him too much credit for that, but he, you know, he's made me a better man in the sport and overall. And that's what martial arts does for us, right? That's why we do this. You know, like, if I'm not training, I'm not fighting, I'm like a pit bull that needs to be walked. I'm not doing good things. You know, I'm a good dude, I like to think, but I'm not doing good things unless I'm running it out or training in the gym and testing myself that way. So man, like, man, this, it's, I'm grateful for everything we've been through.
Yeah. I got to disagree, Josh. I think you guys will be remembered because it was just an incredible set of fights. And I'm glad they all went to a decision, to be honest with you. Cause I just think it means a lot more. So, again, interest of time, we got under 5 minutes. So I want to get to the third fight. Josh, you were 3-1 coming in your last four coming in. Gil, you had not lost since that first title loss. You'd won six straight. Unfortunately, this is 2012, almost 3 years later. Strikeforce is, like we said, owned by Zuffa, who'd been poaching a lot of the big name fighters. There had even been rumors that possibly Gray Maynard, your teammate Josh, would be stepping in to fight Gil, or possibly even BJ Penn coming over. So there was a lot of questions about this and where the fight was going to go and what was going to happen. This fight was, to obviously, it was the closest fight out of three. I mean, all three judges scored it at 48-47. I'm guessing that if I asked both of you, Josh, you'd say you felt like you won. Gil, you'd say, yes, the judges got it right. And you won. So hey, you guys are still fighters at the end of the day. You're still competitive. It still burns and all that. So Josh, I do need to ask, in terms of, I know that it was clear that you were frustrated by the judge's decision at the very end. What did you feel like was the difference? Why do you think that the judges went with Gil, even though you felt like you probably feel like you won? What was the difference in your mind in that fight?
You know, I really couldn't tell you what the difference was. It was such a close fight. I mean, there was nothing that really stood out, I think, on either part of ours. Like, there was no clear reason why I should have won, and there was probably no clear reason on why he should have won. It really came down to wherever the judge was sitting and who saw the best action. You know, and if you watch judges, right, they if they're from behind the fighter, they don't see the shot land, how hard it was, depending on where they're sitting. And, you know, it really just comes down to however the judges viewed it. I thought I had more of the controlling positions in certain areas. But I mean, he had a lot of good takedowns, but I also was able to pop right back up. So when you're really splitting hairs, how much credit are you giving to a takedown? How much credit are you giving to me getting up? How much credit are you giving for whatever, you know, finishing positions, but not finishing, obviously. So, like I said, at the end of it, though, it really came down to that the judges made the decision. And I was obviously disappointed. I think everyone would have been disappointed in a close fight. But at the end of the day, like I said, I've always carried this whole fight game thing. Like I just told you guys, in 10, 15 years, people were already talking about me like as if like, oh, you were never that good. And I'm like, the reality is I know how good I was during that duration, you know, but they go based off of towards the end of your career. That's like people going back to Muhammad Ali and saying, yeah, he really wasn't that good because he lost his last however many fights.
Right.
that's a bunch of crap. You know it, but it's like, it's, that's how fans, the new fans are always going to be. And so I don't really hold too much into it. You know, I mean, it is what it is. I got a lot of respect for Gil, man. At the end of the day, when I see Gil, I'd rather have more of a friendship than worry about what happened in the third fight.
All right, Gil, I'll let you quickly respond.
He's trying to soften me up again. That's Josh Thompson, man. He's trying to soften me up. Cut that crap out, Josh. He's already doing it, man. He's doing it again. That's it. Now, let me tell you, though, going into that third fight, you know, the last person I wanted to fight was Josh Thompson at the time. The guy who knew me so well, the guy who had the recipe to beat me, the guy who I already spent 50 minutes with. And they're talking about Gray Maynard, BJ Penn, and guys with bigger names, right, at the time, you know, UFC branding behind them, Gray Maynard's, BJ Penn's. I just came off of beating Aoki. You know, last thing I wanted to do was fight the guy who knows me best, Josh Thompson, right? I was in line for the UFC title, and then all of a sudden a roadblock comes on my way. Josh Thompson, my, you know, damn freaking thorn in my butt, whatever you want to call it, man. And I'm like, I got to fight Josh Thompson in order to get this UFC title. That's basically what it came down to. You know, and Josh and I, we've been on the wrong end of some decisions, you know, and just because I got that nod, I was able to campaign for that UFC title because of that, you know. And I remember, you know, first thing I tried to do that worked in the second fight was hit Josh with the leg kick, right? Because I'm not even a leg kicker, except that first fight, he stayed in the pocket a little bit, but not in the pocket. And the only thing I could do was land a leg kick. So I was like, all right, I'm going to leg kick him again. The first thing he does is he steps back into southpaw, back to conventional, and starts, you know, walking backwards, you know, like, you know, a really good tactic, a backward shift in stance, you know, and I immediately start putting the pressure, you know, trying to punch him, and I'm going to take him down this time. And I did take him down this time, but damn, I couldn't hold him down. And I tried to punch him on the way up, you know, but he had Pat Miletic on his side, you know, coaching him, and, you know, saying he's doing such a great job out there, and that my takedowns weren't doing nothing, you know, when I overwatched that. But I look back at that fight, and I truly believe I won it. I was the aggressor. I was coming at Josh the whole time. Man, he had some sneaky takedowns. I'll give him some sneaky takedowns on there, man, you know. But I'm going to give myself the nod again, Phil, man, and I'll Josh again, dude. And you know what? That, you know, those bouts might not mean anything to Mike Tyson, but this one right here, bro.
Listeners, Gil just put the title on his shoulder, the actual belt.
This means a lot to me, and you can bury me in the grave, and you can tell everybody.
This guy.
It's 2-1 against Josh Thompson. Today, oh, man.
This guy. Oh, laying it on thick right now. He's just laying it on thick.
Oh, man. That might be my favorite moment in the history of this podcast. Josh got done talking about Tyson. Hey, belts mean nothing, and Gil brings the belt.
Phil, don't believe Josh, man. Oh, man, he hates it every day. Oh, he hates it, man. I gotta text him the reminder every time it's our anniversary. You know, I gotta start sending it over to him.
He wants
to strangle me right now. I know he does.
My cheeks hurt, bro. My cheeks hurt from laughing so hard, bro. This guy, let me guess, you carry that thing into like grocery stores and stuff, huh? Like,
still wearing the belt.
Get the free drink.
Gosh, it was a special day today. Phil wanted it. To retalk, I had it dusted off, man.
Oh,
you know,
man.
I got all of them framed, but one. I keep it by my bed every so often, just to, you know.
This guy, he's rubbing it in right now.
Oh, that was awesome. That was so awesome. I wish everybody could have seen that. That was so awesome. All right. Well, we're coming up towards the end of this. You know, the end of the fight. Mauro did bring up, you know, hey, that was 15 rounds. You know, are we going to see a 16th? Obviously not as fighters, but hey, you know, there's a big market out there for, you know, for grappling. I just saw the pillow fight championships is a thing now. Maybe we'll see a new evolution of the Gil Josh rivalry, but I'm guessing the grappling thing would be a little more likely. But could we ever see something like that? Could we ever see a rekindling of the rivalry in some other format of some kind?
Yeah, I have no desire to get hit at all. So even with a pillow, so that shit's done. That ship has sailed. I'm over that. But no, I do know that Chael Sonnen had reached out to me and talked to me a little bit about potentially grappling in his SUG and, you know, doing that up there. And so that's something, but then COVID hit kind of like around that time. And so now we're just kind of, I think, waiting for a call from him. But no, I'm definitely interested. It'd be fun. And make sure you bring that belt, Gil. Okay. Take that off your hands, buddy.
Hey, don't believe that smile, Phil. That grin, he's biting down on his mouthpiece already, man. You know what, dude? I would grapple Josh. It'd be an honor because we bring the best out of each other. I got my game face on. I'm not going to take a drink. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. And guess what? I'm boxing every day because I know Josh would happily box me, dude. You got your Showtime people out
Triller
there.
Triller or Triad. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, make some calls, man. We can keep it going. Forever, man. Let's do it. Anytime, man.
I love it. All right. Oh, I think we lost Gil. We'll see if he drops back in. But Josh, while we're waiting to see if he comes back in, do you need to ask? So you've got your Weighing In podcast with Big John McCarthy, big success there. You're also doing commentary for Bellator fights, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I know you own a couple gyms. You want to talk about anything else that you want to mention, social, anything that you want to promote?
No, I mean, like, realistically, just go to our Weighing In podcast on YouTube. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify. Spotify and iTunes are our major platforms that a lot of people listen to us on. People getting back to work now, so listen to us in the car. Don't watch us on YouTube, safety-wise, that type of stuff. But we are available on YouTube. We also have a clips channel, which we call the Weighing In Extra channel. We do a special show on there. It's kind of like a Pardon the Interruption. It's a small little 8 to 10 minute long show. It's fun. We yell back and forth. We play games and we talk about the sport, you know, and have fun with it, though. It's a real great show. That's only on our Weighing In Extras channel. Hit the subscribe buttons there, man. Follow us on those platforms. And in terms of, I'm an analyst for Bellator. I love doing it. We're covering the Bellator fights. Make sure you guys tune in. We've got a lot of great top level fighters that are starting to make a splash, especially the young ones that we've been grooming for the last 2 or 3 years. AJ McKee, Yaroslav Amosov, who's got the best record in all of MMA now that Khabib is retired. He's 26-0, phenomenal fighter, you know, and then obviously AJ McKee, plus the pillars of our organization, which is, you know, Patricio and Douglas Lima and other fighters that are available on there, but just an outstanding group of young, talented fighters are making a rise. And I mean, don't be upset when I say this, you know, especially for all the Strikeforce fighters. But Bellator, to me right now, has a better pedigree of fighters than when UFC bought Strikeforce. They have those up-and-coming guys, Yaroslav Amosov, Logan Storley, you know, AJ McKee. You know, we've got a lot of top-level fighters that are making a really good run right now. And, you know, make sure you guys tune in on Showtime. You know, you can watch the prelims on YouTube as well, on the Bellator YouTube. So those are places to check us out and check Big John and I out.
All right. Awesome. And then I gotta ask, you already answered this question, but you felt like the second fight was the best out of the three. But so let me ask this question. Is both you and Gil had said at separate times that you felt like the other one was your toughest fighter of your career, the one that brought the best out of that sort of thing. So is Gil the toughest fighter that you ever faced? Is that the toughest fight you ever had?
Gil was the one, like he said, like, we brought the best out of each other. He was the nemesis. And he was the guy that I knew that knew me the best, you know? So, I mean, like, in terms of, he was my nemesis, man. Like, they didn't matter. It didn't matter how tough all the other guys were that I had to fight. He was the guy that just knew me the best, and he knew how to get to me, whether it was in interviews, he knew how to get to me, you know, in the cage, he knew how to make adjustments between rounds. He was the guy that just knew, how, you know, how I worked, how my mind kind of worked in that cage. Not a lot of people could figure that out. And so it just came down to, and the other thing too, is I knew when I got in there, he brought the best out of me, and I fought my best fights when I was in there. So he was dealing with a different animal than somebody that, you know, that I had fought previously. You know, I look at nothing against him because I really respect him as well. But Bobby Green, I didn't fight a good fight. I didn't fight to my best of my ability. He didn't bring the best out of me. You know, those kind of like that type of situation. Whereas Gil, no matter what, I would have fought the best fight. I would have tried to fight the best fight of my life. Certain fighters just didn't bring it out of me. And I moved on. You know what I mean? But he was the guy that knew me the best and knew and made the adjustments the most. And I knew that I had to be prepared, and I knew he brought the best out of me.
Awesome. Well, he just texted me, said his phone died. So that's why he dropped
that
off.
Makes
so,
sense.
Yeah, I think, but it was perfect timing, and you get the final word despite him bringing the belt on. But Josh, I really appreciate your time. This was by far the most fun that I've had doing this. It was great just seeing you guys, you know, be able to chew the fat, talk back and forth. And, hey, hopefully we do get to see the fourth one in some other, you know, some other, you know, some other way. It would be great to see you guys come back.
I'm not getting hit anymore, bro.
I don't think the boxing thing is going to happen. I think that's
not even the pillow fight. But in terms of the grappling, yeah. Hey, Gil, make sure when I know you're going to watch this back, because, you know, that's, you're going to do that. But when you do, I want you to remember this. I give you that smile, bring my belt. Hey, bud, thanks for having me on, and have a blessed weekend.
All right, I want to thank my very special guests, Josh Thompson and Gilbert Melendez, for taking the time to join me on Inside the Hexagon. As you can probably tell, I thoroughly enjoyed that conversation. It seemed like they had a great time too. I hope you had a great time, but it was just so much fun. You know, the little special surprise with Gil bringing the belt and then Josh responding later with the smile. And it just, yeah, I had such a good time. Even as I was going through and editing that, I found myself smiling and laughing. It was such an enjoyable experience. And again, I hope that you enjoyed it as well, that you would consider sharing it within your network. I'd love to get the word out specifically about that episode, because it was just awesome. I loved hearing from them. They provided such great content. But speaking of content, looking ahead, we are going to be covering Strikeforce Rockhold versus Kennedy. As you might have guessed, the main event was a middleweight title fight between the champion Luke Rockhold and the challenger Tim Kennedy. Also, another title fight on this card, Nate Marquardt, promotional newcomer to Strikeforce, would battle Tyron Woodley with the vacant welterweight title on the line. This was a memorable fight with possibly the most vicious finish in Strikeforce history. We're going to talk through that. Hodger Gracie takes on Keith Jardine, and Lorenz Larkin makes his middleweight debut against ruthless Robbie Lawler. After that, I've already spoken with him, but Nate Marquardt is going to be on the podcast. After that, we talk about his foray into Strikeforce. We talk about his preparation. This was his first fight at 170 pounds, how he prepared for Tyron Woodley, how the fight, we go deep. We talk about what happened during the fight, specific sequences, and then we talk about that very, very memorable finish. It's a great conversation. We also get into Nate's, his philosophy, his mindset on life, and how his Christianity, how that, you know, kind of affects him as a fighter. He also shares a really cool story about meeting up with Tyron's mom after the bout. So some really good stuff. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with you as well. But we've got just a handful of episodes left. After this one, we've got 6 episodes left in the, you know, on the docket, so to speak. So appreciate you taking the ride with us. Hope that you enjoyed this episode today. But with that, we're going to go ahead and ride off into the sunset. We hope that you stay safe and you stay healthy, and we will see you soon.
Hit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!